Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Yeah. Mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts. That's what we got. Mixed martial arts.
That's right. More mixed martial arts. UFC is back tomorrow. Early card. UFC Vegas 42. I like early cards. Prelims at 1 p.m. Eastern. Main card at 4 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be headlined by a fun one at 145 pounds between Max Holloway and Yair Rodriguez. So let's talk about UFC Vegas 42. We are live on our preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Kack. We got Casey Lydon on the ones and twos, Battistache and MMA Media. And we have a very special guest joining us because we have a big featherweight matchup coming up. Let's talk to one of the most exciting featherweights on planet Earth. And we saw that firsthand this past Saturday night inside Madison Square Garden, UFC 268 against Shane Burgos. Unfortunately, it did not go his way, but the fight was incredible. And the stock, in my opinion, of one Billy Quarantillo has risen in a big way. And he's kind enough to join us just days after that epic war. Billy, how are you, man? Thank you for doing this.
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Mike. Always great chatting with you, brother.
Absolutely. So I guess first things first, man, how are you feeling? How is everything after that incredible fight with Shane Burgos?
I'm good. You know, it was a long training camp. I didn't prepare much after it because, you know, you don't want to ever overlook anyone. So I got a lot of good comments, a lot of people saying really nice things to me. Of course, losing sucks. And, you know, that stinging feeling of the loss will stay with me until my next fight, I'm sure. Everything else physically, I feel great. My leg's still kind of jacked up. It's a little bruised up. But besides that, it is what it is. It was a tough fight. I really thought I was going to be able to go there and beat him. And he did a really good job of, attacking my leg, mixing in the leg kicks. And can't go back and do anything now. So I'm just looking forward and moving on to the next one.
When we spoke, the whole thing was we were talking about you and Shane got to set the table for Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler. That was the plan all along until a couple days before the card. They kick off the main card, and you have to follow that fight. So we, in hindsight, we all saw how it played out and how the crowd reacted. They kind of came down despite you and Shane putting on a tremendous battle. In a lot of people's minds, like the purists of MMA actually thought you and Shane's fight was better. I mean, there's an energy and there's a chaos to Gaethje Chandler. But from a technical standpoint, a lot of people felt that you and Shane definitely flew under the radar having to follow that fight. So how did you react to finding out that Gaethje and Chandler is going to open the card and you're going to have to follow that fight?
Well, at first, I didn't really think much of it. I was just trying to focus on, my own fight. And I was thinking, they're going to go out there, put on a good show. And it'll set us up for good things. And then backstage when I was watching it, I just tweeted about it, kind of joking around. I remember watching it backstage and it was like, holy shit. Like, how am I going to, what are we even supposed to do now? Watching them just leave everything in the cage. Both of them are bleeding all over the place. The crowd, you could hear the crowd in our locker room was deafening. It was, I was literally watching that fight as a fan. And just thinking, man, I'm like, no matter what we do, it's going to be very hard to top this one. So, I had nothing to lose going in there. And I understand, a lot of casual fans, at the event were probably like, all right, well, this is our chance to go get some food, go grab a beer, you know, use the bathroom. So I definitely felt like when we first started, I was landing some early shots, and the crowd wasn't really that loud at first. But as our fight went on, they seemed to wake back up and get back into the fight. So it was definitely a tough act to follow. But again, there was nothing I could have done about it right then and there. So I just made the most of it. I think we put on a good fight. And as you said, a lot of like the hardcore fans hit me up and was like, man, I loved your fight. It sucks that it was right behind that one. So it was awesome, man. It was awesome being on a big stage. Tough act to follow, of course. I was watching that fight as a fan, but we made the most of it, and I think we got a lot of people's attention, which is the most I could ask for.
Completely agree. Tremendous fight. And speaking of tough acts to follow, this card tomorrow has to follow UFC 268, which was just amazing. Best card of the year, in my opinion. So many storylines, so many discussion points afterwards, but we got to start somewhere. We got one hell of a main event in your mm-hmm. division, Billy. We got Max Holloway. He is back for the first time since that win over Calvin Kattar, taking on Yair Rodriguez. This fight was supposed to happen in July. Holloway had an injury, undisclosed injury, and now we're rebooked here just a couple of weeks away from Turkey Day. So your thoughts on the matchup, Billy? What stands out to you? Is it Max Holloway returning, just like the excitement for that, or is it the lack of disrespect for Yair Rodriguez, in my opinion, coming into this fight?
Yeah, it's just a really interesting fight because we haven't seen too much of Rodriguez. You know, his last fight, I think, was in 2019 against Jeremy Stephens. Max Holloway, always a fan favorite, always exciting. You know, his output's just going to be unbelievable. The biggest thing I think is, I think you mentioned it with, I think the odds started at like, I think Max was like a minus 400 favorite, which was already a huge, huge, huge number. And now I think he's up to like a minus 700 favorite. So just crazy, crazy odds between, you know, the number one contender and I think like the number three contender. It just shows you what a gap people think is there between those top few guys. And it just shows how much people love and will go to bat for Max Holloway, because obviously a ton of people must be betting on him still if the odds are still going in that direction. But I don't think you could find another division where you get the number one guy against the number three guy. I think those are the numbers. I could be wrong. Yair might be pushed back a little bit, but it's two top guys, two top five guys. And to have a minus 700 favorite and a plus five, whatever, it's just pretty crazy odds. So as a bettor, I'm obviously going to stay away from this fight unless there's like some prop bets. But as a fan, I think it's going to be a lot closer than those odds show. I'm still rocking with Max Holloway. I still think he goes and gets it done, but those odds are just are a little unusual, I think.
Yeah, it's wild. Minus 720, according to DraftKings right now for Max Holloway, plus 500 for Yair Rodriguez. Casey, your thoughts? Like, I know you're not one that plays the ponies, but we talk about the betting lines. You like to refer to the Tapology page and see how the fans are voting. Are we, let me take a guess, 83% Max Holloway, or is it higher than that? 95%? That is crazy. That's wild. Wow. Okay, that's way higher than I thought it was going to be. I thought 83% was probably like a little disrespectful. 95%? That's insane.
Yeah, man. Wow. People just love Max Holloway. It's just he's one of those guys. He's done such a good job. You know, in the cage, he's super exciting. And the times that he lost, a lot of people thought he won. And I think just outside of like everything he does is just like cool. Like it's like Max Holloway's just like a cool person. It's hard to root against him, but man, yeah, Yair Rodriguez, it's almost like we forget with all the crazy, crazy exciting performances he's had. You know, he's only lost once, I think, to Frankie Edgar. Besides that, he's looked pretty remarkable in that cage. So I'm definitely really excited for this fight. And it's hard to believe there's that much of a gap between the two.
What do you think? I know we're talking heavy odds. Everyone's very heavy on Max Holloway, and rightfully so. A lot of people feel mm-hmm. that even with Volkanovski, he's the best featherweight in the world right now, despite having the two losses on the record. Is there, what would you say if you're betting on, if you're coaching Yair Rodriguez, if you're in his corner, Billy, what are you telling him? What do you think is his best path to victory to defeating the great Max Holloway tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, it's probably what we kind of already know. He probably could beat Max Holloway with his unorthodox striking. You know, he's always doing, different kind of jumping kicks and spinning kicks and different types of kicks, where Max is more of, more of a boxer. He likes to use kicks sometimes, but I mean, it's hard to bet against Yair Rodriguez if he's 100% healthy, if he's using all of his strikes effectively. And, you know, neither guy really wants to wrestle. So, I mean, he just needs to use his striking and, I don't know, man, be better with it. It's such an unusual position because neither guy really has that wrestling base where, like, if I'm fighting a guy and their striking's that good, I want to mix in takedowns. I want to mix it up. I want to throw them off their game. But I think both guys are going to go into this fight, Max with the reputation of, you know, the UFC's best boxer. He said it in pretty much every interview that I've seen, that, you know, he's the best boxer. He wants to be known as the best striker. Yair Rodriguez is a phenomenal striker. He does a lot of unorthodox stuff. He mixes it up. So I think in Yair's corner, he's just got to keep doing what he's been doing. He really needs to mix it up. He needs to figure out Max's timing. He can't, you know, stand there and box with Max. That would definitely be a bad idea. But yeah, it's tough, man. He's got to keep doing what he's doing, but he's just got to be better at it than Max, which is going to be a tough task, I think.
My reaction to, like, when the fight was booked in July, I was like, okay, cool. We have tough going on. Like, the division's kind of in a weird place right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, we want to throw that fight on a main event of a fight night? Sure. But then to announce this fight literally the day of Volkanovski's title defense against Brian Ortega, kind of surprising, right? Because I felt, especially with the timing of that fight, Max Holloway is a no-brainer to get the winner of that fight. Didn't matter when it was going to happen, probably sometime in early 2022, but I was like, okay, Max Holloway's going to fight for the title against Volkanovski, third fight, let's go. And then we find out this is the fight for November. What was your reaction to this, Billy? Were you surprised that this is the route, or is this just Max Holloway saying, I'm done sitting on the bench, I've been out for 10 months, like, I got to get back in there and just punch somebody?
Yeah, I agree. I think Max has done enough to earn that rematch. A lot of people, like myself, thought he won that second fight against Volkanovski, and against Kelvin Kattar. He just looked like he was the best fighter in the world. So I don't know. I think Max has got something up his sleeve. I heard him in one interview saying that, you know, he's got a lot of options. It's not just the title fight. So it sounds like he might be interested in moving up to 155 at this point. He is one of the UFC's biggest stars. I think he is one of the biggest needle movers. So it'll be interesting to see what they do next with the timing of it. If Volkanovski wants to fight, you know, shortly after this, you know, within the next couple months, it'll be interesting to see who they give the fight to. Of course, if Max goes up there and wins this fight, which a lot of people are expecting. So yeah, it is very unusual timing. So it will be interesting to see what Max and what the UFC decide to do, depending on how this fight goes. You know, if he goes there and gets an easy decision, or you know, goes there and gets a big finish and doesn't take any damage, maybe he lines up with Volkanovski for the next fight. But with two killers like this, you got to imagine that they're going to do some damage to each other. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, what they decide to do with that, because clearly I'm not the only one that thinks Max should get another title fight. He's definitely the next one up. And I don't think anyone would mind seeing a Volkanovski Holloway third fight, especially with how close those first two fights were.
Max Holloway might have created one of the best t-shirt offerings of all time. The Elevator Divas line was just one of the best things I've ever heard in my life. All these Elevator Divas, you know, just waiting at the top. Like, I love that so much. It was well said by Max Holloway. So Billy, you're picking Max to win this fight. Mm-hmm. Does he get it done inside the distance, or do you think we're going to see 25 minutes of chaos?
I think so. I think he's going to get the finish, only because I think Rodriguez, well, yeah. And I think that Max has already had a few of those big wars. You know, he's had the wars with Kattar, the war with Ortega that he got the finish. Did he finish Ortega, right? I think he finished. Yeah.
Eventually,
he finished Ortega. Yeah. I know he took a beating first, but he's already had the wars with Volkanovski. He's got the capability of finishing people, and I think Jarier is going to try to push him, pressure him a little bit more, kind of take him off his game. So I think anytime one fighter tries to pressure the other one, I think you're going to see more mistakes and more opportunities to get the finish. So I'll go Max Holloway, third round TKO, and that's because he's already had the long wars, and it's like, man, it's not going to be a war every single time. I think he's going to go out there and get the finish on it. So if I was betting, I would probably take a prop bet, something like that, where the odds are a little bit more realistic, because you're either going to have to go with Jarier or just spend $1 trillion just to make a couple bucks. So yeah, I'm going to go Max Holloway, TKO, third round. And it's an early card, which I like these early East Coast fights. You know, I live on the East Coast, so it'll be nice to watch it during the day.
Yes, I completely agree. Casey, where are you at with this? Holloway, Jarier, could he pull off the upset and just turn this division upside down? Because that's what he'll do if he beats Max Holloway tomorrow.
It's so weird because while I am going to pick Max Holloway, like the odds just blow me away. I mean, very bold statement saying he's going to be finished. Jarier has never been finished in his career. His only loss in the UFC, of course, was to Frankie. And for Holloway, his only finish in the UFC, getting finished, was his very, very short notice, very first fight in the UFC against Dustin Poirier on short notice. So I honestly, maybe I'm just being a hopeful fan here, I just think this is an incredible, incredible 25-minute war, and while I'm picking Holloway, I just think he's going to edge it. I don't think he's just leaps and bounds above Jarier, even though I do think Holloway right now on our rankings, I do have him above Volkanovski, has the best 145er in the world right now. And I am going to say 3-2 Max Holloway, and it's going to be one hell of a fight. And if Jarier wins, I'm not going to be shocked. If one of them finishes each other, I will be shocked. But if Jarier wins a close decision, I won't be shocked at all. I just think this is super competitive, but I think logically everyone should pick Max. But the odds are just incredible for him. I don't get that, but I mean, yeah, that just people love Max. I get it. But Jarier might be one of those little y'all must have forgot type guys too. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's been. The Boston card, October 2019, was the last time he fought, and it was a fun one with Jeremy Stephens. I'm very curious to see how the first 8 minutes of this fight goes. How is Jarier going to approach it? How is Max Holloway going to approach it? Because Max hasn't always been like the best starter in the world, but his last few fights, he's been a terrific starter. The way he started off that Calvin Kattar fight, the way he started off the second Volkanovski fight, I mean, the guy came out on fire. He came out absolutely on fire. He's just landing, just getting comfortable, but he's taking in information while still landing punishment. Like Piotr Jan likes to take that first round and kind of just, you know, land some shots, but he likes to kind of survey the scene, figure out tendencies. Max Holloway has done that in his last two fights while landing damage. And it's just been pretty sensational to see how he does now. What Volkanovski was able to do in that second fight, making those adjustments while the fight was happening, was incredibly impressive. So I don't want to take anything away from him. But how is Jarier Rodriguez going to approach this tornado of destruction in Max Holloway? It's going to come towards him. Can he go 25 minutes? I don't know. Holloway's the kind of guy that gets better as the fight goes. If you watch the Calvin Kattar fight, he was putting up record numbers in rounds 4 and 5. It was absolutely ridiculous. The amount of pressure this guy puts on, the amount of numbers, the amount of strikes he throws and lands, it's absolutely unbelievable. So I'm not going to say Jarier doesn't have a chance. He certainly has a chance. He's so unorthodox. Mm-hmm. Maybe he wrestles a little bit. Maybe he does take Max Holloway down and try to gas him out a little bit. He might not be that successful. Maybe clinches him up against the cage a little bit, tries to slow him down, put his body on top of Max and try to suck some of that energy away before Holloway gets cooking. That'd be a smart strategy on his part. I'm not a coach or an MMA fighter or anything like that. But, you know, if a guy's just coming out and just throwing volume like that, you would think, how can I slow this guy down? Well, you try to put him up against the fence and try to slow him down a little bit. So I think Jair's going to try that. But again, does he have the gas tank to be able to withstand that for a while? I don't know. So I'll go with Holloway. I think I'm not going to say he cruises, but I would say the final 75% of the fight is all his. It's just a matter of whether or not he gets, I'll say he wins a decision. And I think it's a clear cut one, but I think Yair is going to have his moments, especially early in this fight.
I can see Yair being strong very early too, but definitely towards 4 and 5, I think that's going to be Max Holloway time, even though maybe the greatest knockout in UFC history was with 1 second left in the fifth round by Yair Rodriguez. So we're saying that Yair is going to fade, but yet the greatest knockout ever is by Yair in the fifth round. So it's a crazy sport.
Can you imagine that again? Because like Korean Zombie still gets heat for being like, okay, I'll get in the middle with you and have this exchange, even though I'm winning 4 rounds to nothing at this point. I'm about to win the fight, but I'm going to go in there and get stopped with a crazy elbow. But Holloway's known to do that too. Like, let's meet in the middle. And so I'm kind of glad. Yeah. I'm kind of excited for the last 10 seconds of this fight. We never know what's going to happen with these guys.
I think it's going to be so exciting. Yeah, even if it's a blowout, you feel up until the last final horn, you're going to be like, okay, now it's over.
I think you have to. You guys, like Billy, I know we only have a few more minutes with you, but just kind of looking at this card, main card, we got Ben Rothwell, Marcos Rogério de Lima, Felicia Spencer facing the returning Leah Letson. We got Julia Arce versus Song Yudong, and some other good fights. When you look at this card, Billy, what's the fight maybe flying under the radar? And if you really look at this card, it's pretty good. Like, it's a sneaky good card following UFC 268. What's that like under the radar banger that you're looking at and being like, damn, this could be a good fight and no one's even talking about it?
Well, I don't know about no one talking about it, because obviously like MMA Twitter, we talk about everything. But a fight that I'm super excited about is the Miguel Baeza fight. I've met him a few times in Chaos Williams. That guy's always super exciting. But Baeza, the way he fights and the way how tactical he is and how he approaches the fight game, I'm a big fan of his. I met him before I was on the Contender Series. I guess we fought on the same local card back in the day, which he brought up to me, which I thought was really cool. And then just from meeting him before we were both in the UFC to both of us having some, you know, some good success and some big moments in the UFC, I'm super excited about that fight. That'll be one that, to me, that'll be like my co-main event. That'll be the one I'm second most excited about, I believe, this weekend.
Yeah, that is a great fight. I'm looking at the odds. Very close. Miguel Baez is -140, Chaos Williams +120. Chaos Williams looked gigantic on the scale. Like, I know he's always been in great shape, but he looked gigantic on the scale today. So good on him. That fight should be great. We did have two blunders on the scale. Joel Alvarez missed weight for the second consecutive fight at 155. Liana Jojua also missed weight. Both fights will proceed. Courtney Casey and Thiago Moises, respectively, will get 30% of their opponent's purses. But Casey, what's yours? What's the low-key banger? What's the one you got your eye on?
Cynthia Calvillo versus Andrea Lee. Two top 10 lady flyweights. Calvillo coming off, unfortunately, probably the worst performance of her career against a very, very mean Jessica Andrade, where Calvillo just didn't look like she wanted to be in there. I'm just going to assume that was just an off night for her. I was speaking on Andrade beat Calvillo, but the way Andrade just walked through Calvillo, I was just shocked. But and Andrea Lee is coming off maybe one of her best performances. And, well, who did Andrea Lee just beat? I forgot. What was it?
Shevchenko.
Yeah, Shevchenko.
Antonina.
The other one. Andrea Lee, I've always thought she's going to eventually get a title shot. Maybe this is the fight she needs, but the placement of the card doesn't really make me believe that. But I'm hyped for that fight. And of course, I know it's not a low key banger because it's the co-main event, but freaking Ben Rothwell. Ben Rothwell. Yeah, I love him. And I just hope, I don't want to root for a fighter nor the media, but if he does win, I love when he does his little, remember he used to do his little jig and he does his dance and everything? It was just, the man can move.
Yeah. Julio Arce versus Song Yudong's great fight.
Of course. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, if we're talking high level martial arts, yeah, of course that one. Yeah, but
it's good stuff. I mean, listen,
I'm talking about the post fight dance. Come on.
Oh yeah. Listen, no one can beat the Ben Rothwell post fight dance. Yeah. Chukwueze Alves is good. Even the first fight of the card, Daun Jung versus Kennedy Nchichukwu. Holy moly, that's an interesting fight too. And that's like one of those fights that is a nightmare for bettors, right? Because on paper, you would think Daun Jung, with the experience, the guys he's fought, the way he's performed as of late, it's like, yeah, I feel like this guy could grind out a decision and win however he wants. But Nchichukwu, again, a guy who cuts a lot of weight to get to 205, a huge guy, maybe not the most technical fighter of all time, but man, like, as the fight progresses, he gets stronger and stronger and better and just starts landing with ferocity. It's just wild to see his UFC fights, especially since like a lot of people picked against him in those fights. And now he's got probably the toughest fight of his career. And this is a really closely lined fight. And Chukwu is only a plus 105 underdog right now. Money coming in on the youngster. So some good fights here. Billy, I know you got to get out of here, my man. I appreciate you jumping on, giving your insight for this main event. We'll head to the peeps momentarily, Casey. But any final words for the peeps before we let you go, Billy?
Oh, man. Just thank you guys for having me, man. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys. Yeah, I'll be fighting again soon, man. Thanks, everyone, for like the kind messages and stuff. I love this sport, and I love like everyone involved with it. It was really cool to lose a fight and still get so many like heartfelt messages. It was really cool. So thank you, guys. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and hopefully I'll be back probably in February fighting again. Hopefully another big name.
Against who? Who do you want? Who do you want? Come on.
I don't know. Yeah, man. I gotta heal up first. I can't be calling people out when I'm limping around. So I feel like when I'm healthy, I'll give you guys some names. I'll let you know first, Mike, when we got someone in mind.
I appreciate that. Billy, it means a lot for you to come on here and give your expertise, and happy healing. And we'll see you soon. No doubt about it.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, there he is, Billy Quarantillo, the man, the myth, the legend. What a fight it was with Hurricane Shane Burgos at UFC 268. Just doesn't get enough love. We even talked about, you know, some of the unsung heroes of UFC 268, and neither name was really mentioned in those discussions with Jose and Phoenix. And that's no fault of theirs. It's just there's so many storylines and so many, you know, feel-good stories like the debuts that happened. Of course, Chandler Gaethje, I mean, just unbelievable card. And now we get another one coming up. So let's go to the peeps.
All right.
Let's check in with the wonderful MMA fighting community. If you want to talk about this card or all other.
Yeah, just hit us up with your predictions, any going on. Let me see what we got here.
Let's see what we got. Of course, we've had some interesting fight announcements over the last couple of days.
I thought you could see that.
Maxwell outpaced Rodriguez. It's very possible. I think we're all kind of in agreement that the longer this fight goes, the more it favors Max Holloway.
I don't think anyone can outpace Max.
No.
I think that's the one thing you will always get. Like, as far as just pace for 25 minutes, Max will. I don't think. Is there anyone? Maybe Volkanovski, if you think, or that's more of adjustments. But I think just straight up pace. 25
I don't think
minutes,
he can. I don't know if you can outpace Max. No, I don't think you can outpace actually,
him.
Like, outpace
you can maybe
him. No.
You can try to stop him, slow him down, but not outpace. Let me see what we got here.
Very tough to outpace that guy.
We let Billy go. I wanted to ask him about the painting on the floor. You see that thing in the background? Was like,
oh no!
I wanted to ask him before. I was like, what is this? Like a giant octopus attacking a shark? I was like, yes.
I'm going to find I'll find out right now.
Yeah.
and I'll give you the answer.
All right, let me see what we got here.
Need to give props to Mike. You almost nailed that pick for Gaethje Chandler. There was that first round. It was very close. It was very close. And I wasn't the main point of that pick was that Michael Chandler was getting disrespected by the betting line, by the MMA community. People, like, I just couldn't believe it. Like everybody that you asked about that fight, you could ask 1,000 people. I probably talked to all different people and saw views on Twitter. Not one person was picking Michael Chandler to win that fight. Not one person thought Michael Chandler would get out of the second round in that fight. And then there he is just putting on an all-out war. It was just a nuts. I mean, I know I felt good about the pick. I felt pretty good about it.
No, you picked Chandler to actually knock out Gaethje.
I picked him to finish him in the first round. Because if it was going to happen, it was going to happen then. But it was just the disrespect for Michael Chandler. Like, no one was picking him. No one was giving him a chance. And I was like, I feel like he's getting a little bit disrespected here, and he's got a chance to win this fight. So I'm going to take a flyer on him.
I see a lot of similarities between at least the perception coming into it between Gaethje Chandler and tomorrow's main event, Yair and Holloway, where clearly there are two A-level fighters in their weight divisions, but yet we are excited about the fight, but yet we have what, like 99% of the people are picking one side. So like, it's unique that we're like, oh, this fight's so awesome. Who's going to win? Well, clearly that guy is going to win. And how many times do we say that? We're like, we're excited about a fight, but yet we all know the outcome though. I just find that unique. Like, we're all excited about Max Holloway Yair. Well, I think we should be at least. I mean, I'm as equally excited about Max and Yair as it was for Gaethje Chandler. You know, so I just, these are just two A-level guys, and they're always in exciting fights.
Did you see the? Did we release the Gaethje interview yet that we did?
We released it this morning.
Oh yeah, did you watch it?
I listened to it this morning because I was putting the podcast up.
Oh, okay,
interesting stuff. Gaethje was on fire.
Yeah.
So Gaethje, if you don't watch it, go watch.
You know, I want to rewatch that fight actually because I wonder how much of the moment we got into, you know, rather than the actual, because the third round was kind of weird. they were both clearly kind of like, okay, I'm kind of over this now.
Yeah, they're like, how are we both standing? Like, this fight should have been over multiple times.
Jan was like, just knock me out, please. No, but hey, but that, you got it. Yeah, you were right. If Chandler was going to win, it did feel like he would win very early in the fight. To me, he was going to win either very early in the fight or Chandler was going to win by kind of a grindy decision, like say how he won against Brent Primus in the rematch. He just kind of had to get the win. But Chandler, he went for the exciting route, and I think it paid off. You know, I know he got the loss, but agreed. I think it paid off.
And now he should fight Tony Ferguson, and we'll have some more fun.
All right, here we go.
Rolo Tomasa, do you guys think Max should make a move to 155 at some point, or do you think he's perfect where he is? Why don't you answer that one first, Casey? I have my thoughts on this, but what are your thoughts on this?
It's a little why not both, honestly. I wish the UFC would give Max more options. Maybe they are giving him options. Maybe that's what he's talking about. I think Max is one of those guys. He says he can make 45 relatively easy now. Remember, you know, there were some issues in the past, but it seems the last four or five fights there haven't been any issues. If you can go back and forth, I would love that. People forget that Max, he lost to Dustin Poirier, but damn, that was a competitive one hell of a fight. And that was Max not really bulking up to 55. That was really just a 45er fighting at 55. So I would love Max at both divisions. That's pretty much it. Yeah, I think I want to see him at both. Of course, if he winds up being the 45 champ, Even if he somehow gets back the title at 45, I love how they used to do Anderson back in the day. Anderson was the champ at middleweight, and he fought fun fights at 205. They didn't go for the double champ thing with Anderson Silva when he was the middleweight champ. He fought Forrest Griffin, James Irvin, just kind of fighters, kind of fun fights. And I wish the UFC did more of that, and I think Max is the type of guy, champ or not, that can kind of be in fun fights at 55 and then in very relevant fights at 45.
I wanted Max Holloway versus Justin Gaethje so bad. That was the fight. That was the one. I was like, okay, Max Holloway is basically planting the seeds, telling you, I want to go to 55. I don't need to fight for the belt. I want the best challenges you can give me. I want that fight. And there it is. And of course the Khabib thing was out there, and you know, we turn into this whole LeBron James, the choice thing. And where am I going to go? Am I going to retire? Am I not going to retire? Like, so obviously Holloway was trying to get himself inserted into that conversation because that was the best challenge he could have. But once Khabib officially retired, I thought Gaethje was like a no-brainer. Like, Holloway wants to stay busy. He wants a challenge. Like, we'll just throw him in there. And Gaethje's kind of out of the title picture right now for some weird reason. So let's just throw him in there with, let's just throw these two guys who need something fun to do and have them fight each other. So I'm with you. 155, like, I don't want to see him make a full move to 155. He starts bulking up and putting on size. Like, you're a 55er. I don't want, if he goes that route, I don't want to see him drop back and forth. But if you got some fun fights you want to take at 155, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. At this point in your career, you've done it all. You're a star. Like, you transcend a lot of different things. Like, Max Holloway could look, I don't think he's the biggest star in the UFC, but low key, he's like top three or four. And it doesn't feel that way all the time, especially amongst the casual audience. But like Jose was talking about in Between the Links, the Facebook name change announcement featured Max Holloway in it. Like, Max Holloway is a featured name in that release. So he's a big deal. He's a very big deal. And he doesn't need to fight. He makes probably a ton of money doing the gaming stuff. So good on him.
Yeah. The only reason I don't want to see Max versus Gaethje is because you don't leave a Gaethje fight without some sort of damage. And that's the only issue. And I want Max to be healthy. That's all. He has a family. He's got a new wife. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I have an answer to the question everybody wants to know about the painting on the floor. It was a painting on the floor. It's an octopus, like, seatbelt positioning, like a great white shark, almost like strangling him. And Billy said, it's a custom-made painting from one of my friends. I asked for it because it's my MMA style and why people call me the squid. All right, it's a squid.
Oh, it is a squid. It's a squid.
Choking a great white shark. So there you go. There's your answer to the photo. To the painting.
Wait, is that his nickname?
I always called him Billy Q.
I didn't know his nickname was the squid. I don't mind that.
Well, there you go. I like it too.
I don't mind that.
Good on that guy. That painting rules. I'll post the actual picture on my Twitter in a little while.
I kept wanting to interrupt you guys, like, hey, can we stop talking about fights real quick and talk about that thing in the background? But
I was distracted by the cat that kept jumping up and down, so I didn't see the painting. Max has so many options right now. I mean,
yeah,
just have fun, man.
If Max loses, though, tomorrow, I think, in a weird way, like, his options may open up a lot more with maybe a competitive loss tomorrow. Who knows? You know, because if he wins, you know, it's pretty much, you know, title shot, which, you know, for the maybe. Money, that maybe you're right. Who knows? Who knows?
He can do whatever he wants.
He could talk.
Max Holloway, if he wanted to, could talk. Like, I mean, it all would need to play out, obviously, with Justin Gaethje and Makhachev and stuff. But Max Holloway wants to throw himself into the 55 title picture, and he calls the UFC, and his management talks to the UFC about doing that. If Holloway just says, like, I'm going to 55 for the next, like, four fights, he's fighting for the title, like, in the first two or three fights. Easily. A win sure would help, but, I mean, if they're like, Max Holloway wants to go to 55 and fight for the title, the UFC would seriously consider that with what's available right now. Not like right this second. With Gaethje, you should get the next shot. I know you got Makhachev there as well. But if Holloway ever just said, like, I want to go fight for the lightweight title, the UFC would have a discussion about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Clearly. He's got options either way. But, yeah, with a loss, he has more. You could throw him in there with Josh Emmett and Shane Burgos and some of these killers at 145. I mean, Evloev, Giga Chikadze, if he beats Calvin Kattar. I mean, there's options anyways.
I feel like if he loses, though, I want those 55 fights. I don't know. I know what you're saying.
I want him with a win, too.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? Max
Holloway doesn't need the title.
Max Holloway's a lot like Justin Gaethje. You, in the sense of matchmaking, you really can't F it up.
That's
you
true.
Know, like, you go, I no want Ryan Justin Hall. Gaethje
don't
to fight.
Fight Ryan Hall, though.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I want Justin Gaethje to fight this guy. Cool. I want Justin Gaethje to fight an 86 Hyundai. Cool. Like, that sounds awesome.
Sure. I would.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I felt like the Gaethje Chandler talk. It was really Gaethje versus anybody, because it was just exciting to see Gaethje fight. And of course, the Chandler had a good rivalry, just two bulk, you know, hulked out dudes. But all right, see,
I'll take a couple more. This if Holly goes up, he will be.
He didn't get.
He didn't get murdered. What are you talking about? That was the second best fight of the year. He just happened to fight after the fight of the year, which was like it was Izzy versus Gastelum. That fight was super competitive. And it was okay. I think people are really
I might have to pull up the stats on that fight. Yeah. Just for context, but continue on.
Yeah. I mean, some questions. A little off topic here.
Did Khabib turn heel, or do you think it was Ali tweeting? I'm not going to comment on this, but the one that was interesting, you all know.
Yeah.
But Khabib going after Gaethje on IG was kind of interesting.
Is that something? More in the comment section? Is there more stuff?
Yeah, go to MMAfighting.com. Oh. You can read it. There was some post on Instagram, maybe some other site's post about Gaethje saying that he wants the next title shot, and Khabib like basically jumped on and said like, you had your shot.
Oh, it's that one. Yeah, like slept. You went to sleep during your title shot. That's just, yeah.
So here are the numbers for Holloway-Poirier. Okay, here are the numbers for that fight. First round, Poirier outlanded Holloway 54-30. Round two, Holloway outlanded Poirier 32-31. Round three, Holloway 53-33 outlanded Dustin Poirier. Round four, 42-34 in favor of Holloway. Round five, Dustin Poirier 26-24. Now listen, I understand the big difference in that fight. Poirier, much bigger guy. When he landed, it counted more. But Holloway got his shots in, and that was a super close fight. So there was no quote-unquote murder in that fight. It was a very close fight. Holloway outlanded him. The strikes, for the most part, favor Max Holloway in that fight. So if like you didn't watch that fight and you looked at those numbers, you would think Max Holloway won that fight. So
you know, there was a recent title fight that was just like that. Sandhagen versus Jan. Statistically, Sandhagen won that fight. But of course, Jan landed the harder shots and got the bigger reaction. So, like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, statistics, they tell part of the truth, and the statistics are telling part of the truth. That fight was super close, but there are significant strikes and there are very significant strikes, which unfortunately is not a category for. And the very significant strikes Dustin Poirier landed, but God, yeah, and that was short notice, or was that Dustin? Was that relatively short notice?
Relatively,
for,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for Holloway. All right, what we got? Let me see what else we got.
And by the way, I scored that fight the same way all three judges scored that fight, 49-46 for Dustin Poirier, but it was a much closer fight than the scores indicate.
Yeah.
Much like Casey talking about the Piotr Jan Sandhagen fight.
Yeah. Any questions? Searching. Come on, guys. Any questions about anything else in the card? I know we got a lot. We got some Cyborg questions. Will Cyborg retire? With the title? Maybe. I think she's almost fight a few more times.
Yeah, what else can she do? Like, I don't know. I don't think they're going to get Kayla Harrison, but if I'm Bellator, I am doing literally everything in my power to get Kayla over. Even if it's just like, even if you negotiate with PFL, just be like, we want one fight. Just one fight. We will pay you. We will pay her. We'll pay Chris. We'll croap. We'll run your commercials during the show. Like, you need, this fight has to happen between these two ladies. Like, I'm Nunes Harrison, cool. Like, I would watch it, no doubt about it. But the Cyborg one, I just don't see it happening because they're teammates. Like, it could happen someday if the money's right.
In the UFC,
I feel like Harrison Cyborg could happen. I mean, if you're saying like where's Kayla Harrison gonna fight? I believe she's gonna end up with the PFL. I know there's certain championship rules that if you win the season and the title, like, you're almost like committed to another year, but maybe her contract's a little different. But if I'm Bellator, I'm doing everything in my power to make that fight happen. However you got to do it, no matter how much it costs, you do it, because you can't put a bigger fight together right now. So try to get it done, get a deal with PFL to do it. But yeah, outside of that, there's just not much more for her. Like, the Kat Zingano fight's there. I'd like to see Kat get another win.
Kat Zingano, the last person to defeat and finish Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, I mean, Kat's a good name, but I want to see Kat get one more win. Just not because she doesn't deserve a title shot now, because she, I mean, that's right. The fight people would rather see right now. But she was out for a while. She's got a couple of wins. Like, if Pam Sorensen wins tonight, like, if you want to get Pam Sorensen the next title shot, or do Pam Sorensen versus Kat Zingano, like, I'm cool with that. Like, I'm fine with that. And then if Kat wins, she gets a title shot. Like, I want Kat at her very best when she fights Chris Cyborg. I want her confidence high. I want her feeling good. Like,
I want a build up. I want hype. I want a press conference. I want to see them face to face, you know. I've always been a fan of Kat. When Kat's on, when she's fighting her best, she's just a vicious, vicious woman. And yeah, I would like to see that.
Do you like the Wonder Boy Bilal Muhammad fight, December 18th?
I like it because it's two high level welterweights. It's not necessarily a fight I kind of that's not necessarily a fight I wanted to see. But I'm not like, cool. You know, it's a fight that makes sense. That's about
it. Now that I think of it, because we're talking about fight announcements and stuff, I do want to address one thing, because Damon and I, yesterday morning, we put out an article that the UFC was targeting Adesanya Whitaker 2 at UFC 271. Now, let me just throw this out here. It was completely obvious that this is the case. Like, we saw how the card was shaping up, and you know, people were giving us crap, like, oh, of course. I mean, this is obvious. Like, you're not really reporting anything. Like, another outlet reported this fight on October 8th. Here's the thing about reporting fights and confirming fights. An outlet can go out there and claim that a fight is done, even a very reputable outlet. Of course we saw these reports, and of course we followed up on those reports, asking both sides. We have great relationships with if you combine all of us, we have relationships with everybody in the sport. We can ask any manager to confirm any fight. Like, we have that ability with all the people that work with the site. Believe me when I tell you that the reason that that fight was reported yesterday is because it wasn't agreed to until like a couple of days ago. Like, we all knew this is the fight that was going to happen. We all knew this is the plan, the date, the location, the money, all that stuff is still being talked about. They were pretty far apart when that report first came out. They weren't done. Like, we didn't have anything set. So the reporting thing, like, I could just throw out a fight tomorrow. I'd be like, Conor McGregor's fighting Dustin Poirier tomorrow. Like, in July, it's happening. Like, people aren't just going to write up a story saying I reported that. At least I hope not. What they should do is go and reach out to both sides and be like, is this dude telling the truth or not? Of course I wouldn't be, but I wouldn't report anything like that. So, rule of thumb, like, if we haven't reported a fight, if we haven't reported something, like a big fight, it means it's probably not done or we haven't confirmed it yet. So there you go. That's a little inside baseball, because people were like, oh, I mean, they reported like a month and a half ago. Like, why are they reporting this now? Because it wasn't done. It wasn't agreed upon. And believe me, we asked multiple times. I talked to one source. I was like, here's your monthly check-in about this fight. What's going on with it? And then I finally got that, okay, this is the plan. This guy is preparing to fight this guy on this date. That's all I know. But we have a date. We finally have a date. So that's how that works. So there you go.
Is there a location?
Not yet.
Location,
as far as I'm told.
Yeah. Location seems to be a big issue with where they're training at and stuff. Whitaker is in Australia, correct?
Yes, there's talks about, I mean, you've seen the reports. I mean, there's talks about maybe Seattle. There's some other reports. I mean, it appears, I mean, 270 is going to be in Anaheim. I mean, we knew that was coming anyways, but UFC already confirmed that. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see them go to different places. Texas is cool.
I would love that fight to be in Australia. Just have.
So would I.
I would let me, yeah, just have it for local fans, you know, that give it out there. I mean, give them what they want, you know.
It's just tough with the COVID laws over there.
But just have everyone just have a card of just fighters from that region. Just, I don't know, just do something different, guys.
But it's staff. You still got to get all the staff over there. Now, if you book that card in Australia, New Zealand, whatever, you book that card, but then you don't have another card for like 2 or 3 weeks. Cool. then you're good. Then we can deal with all the, you know, the 2 week quarantines, the quarantines heading out there. You have to space it out because they have obligations to ESPN and putting on a number of cards. If they do something like that, like you're stretching the staff pretty thin. And yeah, I don't know how it would work. You get people out there early, they're gonna have to stay longer. How do you run multiple cards? That's the biggest problem, I think. If the UFC was just holding one event in February, I think they would go to Australia, but not the case.
Let me see what we got.
Excited to see Law, Lowry, Laredo, and Pico.
Question mark? Pico?
Of course. Listen. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see Cody Law get a step up in competition after tonight if he wins, which he probably should. Lowry's good. I like the matchup. Again, I'd like to see him get a step up in competition. But Rakeem Cleveland's a dog, man. That guy's fought everybody. He's fought Derek Lewis twice. He's fought Tanner Boser. I mean, he's been in there with some legit dudes, and he's beat some legit dudes too. So, I mean, I like it. He's definitely the most experienced guy that Steve Mowry's fought, but yeah, I'd like to see him get a step up. Loretta's interesting. She's fighting a fighter that's way bigger than her. Like, Loretta's 5'1 or 5'2, and Taylor is almost 6 feet tall as a 25er. So, that whole size discrepancy is going to be interesting. And Taylor Turner, you look at her record, 5-7, whatever. She's been in there with some, she's been in there with Alejandra Lara. She got beat, but she's been in there with some good competition. She's got some wins, and she's got nothing to lose in this fight. So I think it's interesting.
And this is who Laredo should be fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, I it's like, oh, Laredo sucks. Oh, and she's fighting a fighter that doesn't have a great record. Well, yeah. So it makes sense then. Why would you want her, you know? I am disappointed, though, that Bellator, we have not seen more Hannah Guy. I don't understand that.
She's not signed to the
Is disappointing. That's disappointing.
As far as I know, and hopefully that changes soon, Big Toon is still not signed yet, as far as I know.
Scott Coker.
So come on. How is this happening?
Both of them
should be under contract.
You were just giving Pico, these. You were giving these future pay-per-view stars away to the UFC. What are you thinking?
Aaron Pico, yes. I'm always excited to see Aaron Pico fight. Yeah, Aaron Pico. This is a good matchup with Justin Gonzalez. I like it, man. I like it. A lot of people are like, oh, you could put pressure. Yes, you can, especially in Bellator. And Justin Gonzalez, nothing to lose here. He's got everything to gain, nothing to lose, in my opinion.
You know, he has a chance to lose his undefeated record.
Yeah, but if he wins, I mean, this is a massive victory for him. So, lots of gain. Yeah, he loses the undefeated record, but the risk reward.
Obviously, lots of gain, but yeah, and if you lose Aaron Pico, you usually lose like you leave consciousness for a while. So, dude,
yeah, like, that's it's I Pico's just so good. He's living up to what we kind of like thought he would be, and him linking up with Brandon Gibson was like the best thing that ever happened to him. No doubt about it.
I think, you know, if you don't know Brandon Gibson, he was John Jones's main striking coach for years. And I'm not sure what that relationship is now because of the whole Jackson Week thing. But now that I know Gibson is dedicating a lot of his time into Aaron Pico, and they are good friends, and he just speaks, and everyone who coaches, all the coaches who have worked with Aaron Pico, all the media members who have ever even just talked or worked with Aaron Pico, you get it. If you've been around him, he's like, oh, this guy is just, he's just a good dude, and he's just really good at fighting. And that's been my impression of Pico. Do you kind of have the same thing? Yeah,
I mean, the guy is super focused. I mean, you can check out my interview with him on this here YouTube channel. He's super interesting guy. He's a dad now, just became a father. He's growing up fast. He's growing up fast, but he's been kind of thrust into these have to grow up quickly type positions his entire life, being a wrestler and going to tournaments and traveling since he was like such a young kid. So he's been there before. But Justin Gonzalez is a very good fighter, very good fighter, great wrestler. He could make things a little interesting if this is a dirty, gritty, grimy, like against the fence kind of fight. But yeah, he doesn't want to stand out in space and throw hands at Aaron Pico. That's for sure.
No one. That is a bad idea.
Take two last ones. Any chance to see Chandler versus Islam? I would say no, not next. I think I think Chandler kind of avoids that because of the beating he took against Justin Gaethje. And I know Chandler is like a super athlete, and if anyone can heal quickly, it'll probably be him. But if I'm Chandler, I mean, he's had a busy couple, he's had a busy 18 months. I wouldn't fight till second half of 2022. And at that point, fight Tony Ferguson, man. Like, there's big fights for him that aren't Islam Makhachev.
The Tony,
that would be a signature win. Yeah, that'd be a signature win for Makhachev and get him over the hump. But there's options. There's other options for Makhachev. He could fight the loser of the title fight coming up. He could fight Beneil Dariush. I mean, there's options. Chandler doesn't have to be an option at this point.
And Chandler just went through just a car crash, and he's gonna be out for a little bit. It's just because normally, and so much credit to Chandler when he loses his fights. Next day, you know, he's doing media. He's like talking about why he lost the fight. After he lost to Gaethje, he's just like, okay, I got to hide for a little bit. Do my little video, release a little video of the kid wearing the ice mask. But I get it. I get it, Michael. You just, you know, you've done lots of media trying to promote that Gaethje fight. It lived up to all the expectations. You know, just kind of just chill with your family for a while. And for Islam, you know, even if he got that Chandler fight, to me, and he beats Chandler, then we have the whole, oh, what, you just beat someone on a two-fight losing streak? Big deal. You know, people are going to do that. There's a lot of, you know, I don't think Islam would want that fight with Chandler right now coming off the losing streak, because that's how, just how people are. Yeah, I don't know.
Since when does that matter, though? Since when is meritocrocy matter in the UFC, you know, Casey? You know.
Well, dude, all these people here, and I didn't even put them up.
Wins and losses should matter, but they don't.
Yeah. Well, like, how? Why is Gaethje getting a title? He's only won one fight in a row.
Oh God.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. People, like, they use streaks that has like a selling point, and they'll use it against you. When it's like, it's all about who on the other side of the cage. You know,
he lost to Khabib Nurmagomedov. Come on. He lost to Khabib. Jesus.
That was Khabib's domination of Gaethje. That was the fight that went, oh my God, Khabib is so freaking good. Oh crap, he retired. Dang it. Yep. That one's still shocking.
What else we got? We'll take one more.
One more. Let me look what we got here. A lot of these questions are kind of about other fighters. Bring them on tomorrow for the fan Q&A, people. I'm trying to find a question about tonight. Here we go. Tomorrow's the fight.
Do you guys think Miguel versus Williams has performance of the night written all over it? Listen, with those two guys, sure. It's always a possibility. I think it's more of a fight of the night kind of fight. Both these guys are very durable. Baez is coming off that crazy fight with Santiago Ponzinibbio. Interested to see how much he has grown. I know the last time I spoke with Colby Covington for MMA Fighting, he raved about Miguel Baez. Raved about him. And I felt like Miguel Baez, inside, like heading into the Covington-Usman fight this past Saturday, working with a guy like Miguel Baez for 2 years, as technical and as elusive of a striker as that guy is, I mean, being able to work with that guy every day, preparing for a fight, I mean, you got to learn something. So Baez is a super talented guy, and Chaos Williams lives up to his moniker 100%. He is a chaotic fighter. He's become a little more technical. He's kind of cooled off is the right word, but he's a little more technical. He's toned it down a little bit. He still can bring that heat. He's still got tremendous power, but you could tell from his last fight working over with guys at Jackson Wink and stuff. Footwork's better, defense is better, he's doing things better. So I think it's going to be a very technical fight. There's going to be some fun exchanges. I think this has more fight of the night than performance of the night written on a case. I don't know if you agree or disagree.
It's a good matchup. I see a performance bonus going somehow. I do think one of these gentlemen are going to be finished pretty handily, not because it was a domination, it's just because the other guy, when they do land, is going to be painful. And I'm just hoping that the main event gets fight of the night. That's why. And I think Baez Williams will end in a dramatic finish.
But yeah, it's a good fight. I love the fight.
All right.
I think we're good. Remember, early start time tomorrow, people. 1 p.m. Eastern for the prelims. 4 p.m. Eastern main card, which means You got to wake up early for the pre-fight Q&A, for the People's Pre-Fight Show.
9:30 a.m. Oh,
yes, 12:30 Eastern, 9:30 a.m. for you West Coasters. So get your bagels ready, get your coffee ready, set that Keurig timer, and get ready to go. Go to Dunkin' Donuts, get what you need. We'll see you here 9:30 a.m. Pacific time, 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. We get you ready for UFC Vegas 42. For Casey, big shout out once again to Billy Q.
The squid.
Quarantillo, Ed Cap, the man, the myth, the legend for setting that all up. Casey, I am Mike Keck. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Enjoy all the fights this weekend. Tons of stuff coming up.
This song slaps.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.